So in starting off the Mishneh Torah, what's important to understand is the structure of each section. Okay. So for instance, we're going to start obviously with Hilchos Yisodei Torah. Okay. And if you look at Hilchos Yisodei Torah, what the Rambam always does before each section, okay, for instance, on here, the laws of Yisodei Torah, he has what's called the Koseres, which basically lists, right, the various positive and negative commandments that will be discussed in this, what do you call it, in this section, okay? So before each section we do in the Rambam, we'll always start off with the various positive and negative commandments, which will then flesh out when he speaks about it in the halakhas themselves, okay? All right, so let's begin. So the Rambam starts off with Hilchos Yisodei Torah, and right off the bat, you'll see there's a lot of controversy with writing a sefer of halakha, of how to follow Jewish law, with starting out with philosophy. And there's no question Yisodei Torah is about philosophy, okay? So let's first do the Koseres. The Rambam says, Yesh beklalon eser mitzvos, sheish mitzvos aseh, there are arba mitzvos lo sa'aseh. So the Rambam says there are 10 total commandments that he's going to be discussing, 6 positive and 4 negative. And what are they? V'zeo pratam. Leida sheish sham eloah. Okay? So the first one is what? Is to know that there is God. Okay? Or the God. Okay? Now, that's a very interesting concept because, of course, the question becomes, not for this discussion here, but the question becomes, how can you have a mitzvah, right, to know something? Meaning, this isn't a mitzvah of action, and it's not even a mitzvah of talking. It's a mitzvah of knowing something. How exactly do you gauge such a commandment, to know something? And the Rishonim take the Rambam to task for how that idea exists. Okay, so the first commandment is to know that there's God. The second one, shelo yaleh b'machshava sheyisham eloah acher zulasi Hashem. So the second one is that you can never even entertain the possibility that there is a some type of deity other than God. So, which is also a strange formulation. So not only is there a positive commandment to know that there's a God, that there is God, there's also a negative commandment to never allow it to enter in your mind that there's any other deity other than God. Okay? The third mitzvah is liyachdo. Literally that means to unify God. That will explain more when we get into the halakhas themselves. There's la'ahavo, to love him, and liyira mimeno, to fear him, which as you'll see in the Yisodei Torah, the Rambam has a extremely different way of looking at what it means to love and fear God. Lekadesh shmo, which means to sanctify the name of God, which we'll get into. Shelo lechalal shmo, which means to profane God's name, as commonly known as chilul Hashem. Mitzvah ches, shelo le'abed dvarim shenikra shmo aleihem. So you can never destroy something that has the name of God written upon it. Okay, l'shmo min hanavi hamedaber b'shmo. Okay, that's going to be also a big topic. You must listen to the words of a prophet who speaks in the name of God. And number 10 is shelo l'nasoso, which means you're not allowed to test God. And as the Rambam says, ubir kol mitzvos elu b'prakam elu. And the Rambam is going to explain all these specific mitzvos. Okay, perak aleph halacha aleph. The Rambam says, Yisod ha-yisodos ve'amun ha-chachmos. This is one of the most famous introductions of any sefer, that the foundation of all foundations and the pillar of all wisdom, leida sheyesham matzui rishon. Okay, so now, notice the change in language. The Rambam is going from Eloha to matzui rishon. So what is the most fundamental thing that a person must know? Okay, and again, let's be careful. This is prior to any mitzvah. Prior to any, meaning act mitzvah, meaning forget tefillin, forget Shabbos, forget kashrus, forget all that stuff, forget murder. The first thing, the most fundamental thing a person must know is that there is matzui rishon. Now, what's matzui rishon? So matzui rishon, in this context, which is, again, you have to understand the Rambam often is using an Aristotelian context to describe this. Matzui rishon literally means primary being, but as we'll see, it really ultimately is going to mean something called necessary existence, which we're going to get to soon what that means. But right now, he means it's the primary existence, the first primary existence. Now, what does a primary existence mean? The hum mamsi kol nimsa. So the Rambam explains is that everything that came into being came from God. Okay, so this primary existence, this primary being, it is the source of everything that exists in the world. Okay? V'chol ha-nimtzayim mishamayim v'aretz u'masha b'neyem lo nimtzu ela ma'amitas himatz'o. Okay? And everything that's found. Okay? Now, when the Rambam says shamayim v'aretz, it's important to understand what that means. Shamayim meaning whether it's metaphysical, okay, meaning outside the physical world, okay, which would include something like a malach, okay, va'aretz meaning physical world, u'masha b'neyem, in its totality, meaning the entire physical universe, as well as what we'll call the metaphysical universe, right? It only exists because of the truth of his being. The idea of the truth of God's existence is something that Rambam will come to later on in Yesodia Torah, but it's taken up at length in the Mor Nevuchim. It's a very important idea to get in philosophy is what the truth of God is. But basically, the point of Halacha Aleph is the first thing a person must know is that God is the primary existence and nothing exists if it weren't for him. He brought everything into existence. Okay? Halacha Beis, Vim Yala Aladash Shehu Eino Matzoi, right? Ein Dover Acher Yacholi Matzos. And the moment it enters your mind, if you ever entertain the possibility that God does not exist, okay? This is different than the Isser he mentioned above, the prohibition of thinking that there's another God. This is if a person hypothetically said, well, what if there was no God? Ein davar acher yacholi matzos. Nothing else could possibly exist. So now you understand, that's why we are defined as things that are created as something called a dependent existence. Our existence is dependent because if there was no God, by definition, we could never exist. Okay? That's halacha base. Okay. Halacha gimel. Vim yala aladas. And again, if someone would even possibly contemplate, okay, or imagine. She'ein kol ha-nimtzah milavado mitzuyim hu levado yematzoy. Now, let's say I said to myself, well, nothing, I imagine that nothing exists in the universe, okay? A lot of physicists like to contemplate what existed prior, in quotes, to the universe itself. This is going beyond that. This is saying, let's say nothing existed, okay? God would still exist, okay? Because his existence is a different type of existence than our existence. V'liyavata hu levitulam, right? And our nullifying, so to speak, of that which exists in the world. For instance, let's say the universe contracts, there's one theory in physics that the universe will eventually go back together again and explode and, let's say, be destroyed. Let's say somehow we violate the laws of physics and matter and energy are destroyed completely. It wouldn't matter insofar as God's existence is concerned. Shekol ha-nimtzah tzrichin lo, because everything that exists requires the existence of God. V'hu baruch hu eino tzarech lahem. But God, being the necessary existence, does not require them. V'lo le'echad lahem, not one of them. Lefikach ein amitaso kamitas echad mehem. Therefore, the truth or the reality of God's existence is different than our existences, okay? This also leads to a significant problem, which gets into the idea of terminology and how it applies to God, which you will take up in this parak in a different context. But why is that such a challenge? Because the very word existence itself has a very different meaning when it's applied to, for instance, me versus when it's applied to God. The very notion of existence itself, the word, doesn't do justice in understanding what God's existence is like. Okay? That's halacha gimel. Now, as the Rambam often does in philosophy, okay, he's going to now come in and explain to you that there's a source for this. Okay? So in halacha dalad, what's the source? Hu shanavi omer v'Hashem Elokim emes. So in the Rambam's view, when you say in let's say Kriya Shema Hashem Elokim emes, when you say the word emes, Hu levado emes vein la'acher emes kamitaso. That you should understand that he is true, right? Hashem Elokim emes, the idea of God's truth, which really means his reality, there's nothing else like that. V'hu shatorah omeres ein od milvado. That's what the Torah means, that there's nothing else like him. Kolomar, ein sham matsui emes milvado kamoso. Nothing else has the quality of truth that God does. Nothing. Okay? And again, He uses the argument of dependent existence to bring out this point. Okay? Okay. So that's section one in Parak Aleph, which is the first step is understanding that God is the necessary existence. Okay? However, I'm not going to get into divine providence yet. But if you stopped right here, right, you can make a compelling argument that this is what we call a deistic view of God. a deistic view of God means that God, let's say, brought the universe into existence, but there's nothing that God has to do with the universe, okay? Now God, now the Rambam makes another a shift, okay? In order to understand halacha hey, you have to have a little bit of background, okay? Just a little bit of background. I want to make sure this is very clear to you guys before we go on. Imagine you walk outside, okay? I work in Wisconsin during the summers. Wisconsin is fairly hilly, but right south of me is Iowa, okay? I've driven to Iowa before, and Iowa is literally just flat fields, okay? Imagine you're standing in the middle of a field, okay, and it's flat, okay? And you look on either side of the field, okay? Let's say you look on the right side, at the end of it. You'll see what's called the horizon, okay? And then if you avert your eyes upwards, okay, and you start looking up, you'll see that the sky, so to speak, curves over you and then comes down on the other side, okay? So now what does that appear to be? If you didn't know anything about what we know today about science, what would that appear to be? It would appear to be a dome, okay? The earth is flat, and it's covered by this massive dome, okay? Yeah, Joe, you like that? That makes sense, right? Okay, that's the easy part. Now, imagine it's nighttime, okay? It's nighttime, you're sitting outside in this flat field, okay? And what you do is that, let's say you're having a cup of hot tea. What's going to happen over time to the hot tea? It's going to get cooler, okay? If I drop my book when I'm sitting outside, it'll drop on the floor. But here's what's weird. When you look up at the sky, and I've tried this before, when you look up at the sky and you look at the stars, okay, what happens every night? Always, over and over again, okay? That dome rotates around. It always rotates. Forget the planets, by the way. When we take up astronomy, we'll talk about the planets. But in general, the stars in the sky constantly rotate around. And it's a never-ending rotation, right? Again, think about it. They never stop rotating. It always rotates around in a circle, okay? So when it comes to things on Earth, right, things seem to have a certain type of cause and effect that work in a certain way. When it comes to looking up at the sky, the stars appear to be circling around ad infinitum, okay? Is that clear? Okay, so now comes the next step they made. I'm paraphrasing a bit, but what's the next step? Well, one second. Things on Earth seem to work in a certain way. They come to an end. But something that operates based on ad infinitum must be operating based on a different force, okay? Some different power must be in place to allow for those stars to be moving around in such a way, okay? Who is the only thing that could have such a power? God, okay? So again, if you look at the sky as being a dome, and you look at the stars the way they pivot around, okay, and it's an endless pivoting around, it must be that there's a koach, a power that's different than the koach on Earth. Okay, so that led to a certain belief that must be God. Okay, we'll get into, not now, in a couple parakim, we'll get into what are called the spheres. This domes concept is a little more complex than I'm putting it right now. But for now, understand, that's what the Rambam's about to say. So when you go back to the Rambam here, now you'll understand what he's talking about. So what does he say? He says, in Halacha Hey, Hamatzi Yazeh, who Elohe Olam Adam Kol Aretz. So this existence, right, is the God of the world. Okay, he controls the universe. Okay, but remember, when I say universe, I mean this very, so to speak, small area, which means the flat Earth and the domes above it. Okay, so God controls that. Okay, so now the Hu Hamanig Hagalgal Bekoach She'ein Lo Kates V'Tachlis. So what does he do? He controls that sphere, that spinning sphere, sphere that operates infinitely, okay, with infinite and unchecked power. It's a constant. Ein lo keitz v'tachlis. It is a constant spinning around. Bekoach she'ein lo hefsek, with a power that's uninterrupted. She'agalgal sovev tamid, right? V'efshar she'yiso below mesavev. So that galgal, that earth, right, the sphere spins constantly. And it could never start off spinning without a misavev, without something that spins it. V'hu Baruch Hu, and God, ha-misavev oso b'lo yad v'lo guf. God is the one who has this koach to keep it spinning, and he does it without any hand or anything physical whatsoever. Okay? That is the Rambam's idea of what he called, of God as existence and his relationship to the universe. Now comes the halachic move. Halacha vav, v'yediyas davar zeh mitzvas aseh. So knowing this, okay, the knowledge of what the Rambam just told you, mitzvahs aseh, shenemar anochi Hashem Elokecha. That's a wild statement. The Rambam saying, knowing what he just wrote is the positive commandment, and that's what God meant when he said, I am God, your Lord. When he said, I am God, it's to tell you to know this information. And like he mentioned the Koseres, anytime you ever entertain the possibility there's a God other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu, over below Sasa, you're violating the negative commandment. Notice, by the way, if I took the literal reading in the Torah, Lo yelecha Elohim achrim al panai sounds like don't have another God, meaning you would think an idol. That's not what the Rambam says. The Rambam says it's a thinking idea. I cannot even contemplate the idea of another deity. The kofer be'ikr, shezehu ikr gadol shakol tolibo. And ultimately, he's the essential heretic, meaning he's the ultimate heretic, because there is nothing more fundamental than this idea. Okay, so the defining characteristic of a Jew, first and foremost, is this. A person must be aware of this, must know this idea. Okay? Okay. We'll do one more halacha. Okay, and then we'll stop. Halacha Zion. Okay? Elohazeh, okay, this God, Echad Hu. Okay? He is one. Now, remember I asked you guys yesterday, what does it mean, Hashem Echad? The Rambam has a very interesting way of understanding this idea. God is one, ve'eino shnayim, ve'lo yesar shnayim. So, there's not two or more of, there's not two, nor is there more than two. Ela Echad. Now, what this sounds like at first is, this sounds like what I would say is, like, I don't want to use the word singularity, but it means that there's only one of God, okay? It means only one thing, one God. But that's not what he's saying. He says, She'ein ki yichudo echad mina achadim hanimtzam ba'olam. But there is no other oneness, right, like his oneness. Now, what does that mean? So I'll give you an example, okay? Let's say my phone, okay? I could tell you that there is no other phone like this phone in the universe, and I'd be correct about that. Because its placement in space-time and its composition of atoms, there's nothing else like it. Even if another phone had the same number of atoms as my phone, it can't be in the same location and time that this phone is in, okay? That's the singularity and uniqueness that he's going for. He's saying, the oneness of God isn't just a quantitative idea, it's a qualitative idea. There's nothing else like that idea of God being one. Okay, lo echad kiminshu kol echadim harbe. It's not like one that's a category that includes many things underneath it. Velo echad kiguf, it's not like a physical thing, one thing, shu nechlak lemachlokos uksavos. So even this phone, which is one, but it could be subdivided into its components, right? It could be subdivided into its chips and its wires, etc. Rather, its oneness is a oneness unlike anything else in the world. Ilu hayu elohos harbe hayu gufa nukvios. Okay, now this is an important point. If there was such a thing as multiple gods, then they would have to have both body and form. Body and form, we'll get to next time in more detail. Body and form is a big thing in how we understand Aristotelian logic. Okay, body and form is something that God lacks. Because what distinguishes one physical object from another physical object? It's basically that which is associated with its body and its form. Okay, so I can look at a phone and I can say one phone's distinguished from another phone. Right, the idea of distinguishing between one thing and another thing is unique to the physical world. It doesn't exist in the realm of God. Vilu haya hayotzer gufuk via. And not only that, if God were physical and he had a form, hayalokates v'taklis. So what would have to happen to God? He'd have to come to an end. She efshar lios guf she'en lokates. Just using simple Newtonian laws of, Newtonian physics, we know that, for instance, the universe will eventually burn out. Okay? Things come to an end. It's the nature of objects in the physical world to stop existing. But not God. And any physical thing that has an end to it, so too its power will come to an end as well. Okay? In a very simple way, it's like thinking of a candle that eventually burns out. The Elokeinu Baruch Hu, right? God, ho the kocho and locates, his power has no end. Veina posek, it doesn't stop. Shere gagal sovev tamin. Going back to that point, because of the constant never stopping rotation of the stars, right? That's what leads him to conclude that God is different. Ein kocho koch guf. His power is not a physical power. Hol ve'eno guf lo ya'aru lo ma'oros ha'gufos. So he doesn't have the characteristics and qualities that physical objects have, which means they're able to be divided. And that's why it can only be one. The idea is davar zeh mitzvah saseh, and knowing this as well as a mitzvah. So not only is there a mitzvah to know that God, for instance, is necessary existence, but there's another commandment to know this. Shenemar Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. So every time you say Kriya Shema, according to the Rambam, not only is there a mitzvah that your yotze, your halachic requirement of reciting Kriya Shema, but there's another mitzvah you can engage in, which is thinking about this idea of what makes God one, okay? This idea of the oneness of God, according to the Rambam, just dwelling on that alone is the fulfillment of a mitzvah aseh. Okay.